Welcome to the Organized 365 Binge. Let me guess, you're off on winter break. Your house is driving you nuts. It's almost the new year. I wonder if there's a good podcast on getting organized. Well, you're in luck. I love to find a good show and binge it on Netflix. So that's what I've created for you. From December 22nd to 31st, 2017, I have scoured my podcast content archives and curated a playlist for you. I pulled the best podcast episodes and put them in the best order to encourage, motivate, and inspire you as you tackle your house over winter break. Any references made to past products will be explained at the end of each episode, and you can find links to everything in all these binge podcasts by going to organize365.com/binge. That's organize365.com/BINGE. Now, let's cue the next episode. Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today, I want to talk to you about the three phases of life I see that a woman goes through, and then also the three different phases of organization that she goes through as well. So I am hoping today that you could kind of pinpoint what phase of life you're in, and then also what phase of organization you're in. So why am I going to tell you this? Well, first of all, what I notice when I professionally organize people in their home is that it is very much a mindset of what phase of life they're in and what phase of organization they're in. And as you move from one stage to the other, you kind of need to make that jump and change your mindset in order to get the next stage of organization done. The only way I can kind of equate this to is like if you're going to lose weight. So let's say you're 100 pounds overweight, right? There's a different mindset and different things you have to do to lose the first, let's say, 60 pounds, right? Like, I apologize, I've never actually been in this situation, but I know from talking to other people that there are certain things you have to think and certain things you have to do in order to lose that first 60 pounds. And then the next 25 to 30 pounds, you have to change your mindset a little, change up your routine, change up what you eat to lose the next 25 to 30 pounds. And then there's the last 10 pounds. The last 10 pounds takes a different mindset and different skills and different training to lose that last 10 pounds to get down to whatever your ideal or target weight is. Now, while I haven't personally done that, I know it is true. And helping people in getting organized, I see it all the time. There are people who are in different phases of life and different phases of organization, and you have to match the phase of life with the phase of organization to get the right mindset and the right tips that need to be used in order to get organized. Now, maybe just even hearing that, you're thinking to yourself, oh, thank goodness. I mean, it's not me. Clearly, I just don't have the right phase with the right mindset with the right whatever hooked up. And when I get that hooked up, I'm going to make more progress. And that is absolutely true. Like, you may have been listening to my podcast and be in a different phase of life, and so it's not going to resonate with you. So first, let me go through what I view as the three phases of life, and then I'll talk about the three phases of organization. So I've talked about this in the past, but I've never really done a podcast on it or a blog post on it that's really authoritative and deep. And I think there are a couple reasons for that. Number one, I don't hear other people talking about it. And whenever you talk about something other people aren't talking about, you want to be really, really clear about what you're talking about in case that becomes the way that you look at things. And the other thing is, I wanted to make sure I was kind of right. And I'm not sure I'm 100% right. Like, I am talking about it and I know it to be true for me, but it may not be 100% true for you. So I just want to give those caveats. Like, if you say, well, she's totally wrong for me, I'm sorry. It's a generalization. So the three phases of life that I typically see in the clients that I organize and in what I have observed just from all of the organizing that I've done is that you have a phase of life after you graduate from college or end high school until about somewhere between 35 and 40. So all of your 20s and most of your 30s, if not all of your 30s, is what I call the accumulating phase of life. So you're accumulating, you're getting an apartment and everything you need for an apartment, and you might move to a house and everything you need for a house, and then you might get married, and if you get married, and then you add children and then more children, and then you add a job and then a dog, and see what I'm saying? You're like adding all of these things. Like you went from living in one bedroom in your parents' house to having your own house with children with their bedrooms and dogs and husbands and mortgages and all these things. You're accumulating. And every time you accumulate a husband, a kid, a dog, a house, there are all the things that go along with that, you know, clothing and food and toys, and everybody needs more stuff. And so in this accumulating phase of life, you are constantly reorganizing because you are bringing more stuff into wherever you live, or expanding wherever you live, or adding more people to wherever you live. And as you do that, you're not only organizing yourself and the bigger space, but also other people. Because like when puppies and babies come into the world, they can't organize themselves, that's for sure. So like our little puppy that we got this summer, who I love so much, he has a toy bin in our bedroom and he has a toy bin in the family room. It is so cute because after I've cleaned up all the toys in the morning or in the evening when he's bored, you could see he will go over to his toy bin and he will reach in his toy bin to get out toys, and he'll start pulling out one toy after the other when he's bored, and he'll go through all his toys. And I just think it is so, so cute. And it's so funny to watch how similar pets, dogs — my cat was never that way — but how similar dogs are to like toddlers, like, and how they do that. They just get out all the toys because they're bored. And of course he doesn't put them back. Same thing, it's more prevalent with babies. So you have a baby and it's like every 2 to 3 months, this baby needs a whole new wardrobe, sometimes a whole new diet, new toys, and new things to put them in. So first you put them in bouncy seats and car seats and strollers. And then you go to that little boppy thing that they lay in. And then whatever that little donut thing is — I didn't have it when my kids were little. It looks like a little porta potty, but you put your kid in it and it could sit up straight. It's so cute. I don't know what it's called. And then they have that exerciser. And then they move to a high chair and they have a little train table. And then they have a Lego table. And then if they're girls, they have like 800 toys that have all these little itty bitty pieces that all need their own little bags. And if you're in this stage of life, you're like, oh, I have all of that and more. And as you go from, you know, 0 to 3 months and 3 to 6 months and 6 to 9, by the time your child is 1 year old, they have enough stuff that you could fill a whole condo on their own of their stuff. But you're not going to get rid of the exerciser and the boppy and the swing, even though they're done with them, because you're in the accumulating phase of life and you're going to have more kids. And you haven't decided how many kids that's going to be yet. And sometimes at 40, surprise, you have one more. So you've got cribs and toddler beds and regular beds and kids sharing rooms and not sharing rooms. And you used to have an office and now you don't have an office. And a lot of the organization that happens in this phase of life is reorganizing things so they work for about 2 to 3 months. And you are constantly reorganizing because you are constantly accumulating and changing. So I used to have a home office before the kids were born and even when they were little, but I haven't had a home office for a decade, and it looks like it'll probably be another decade before I actually get one back. So you're squeezing your home office into the corner of your bedroom like I did so that the kids can have a playroom, right? Or your crafts that used to take up a whole bedroom are now shoved in a basement closet and you pull them out on occasion to work on the dining room table unless you're having people over. Then you need to shove all that stuff back in the basement, but you didn't organize it when you shoved it down there because you're having people over, and everything that was in the kitchen got shoved in the laundry room, and then the kid got sick and you had to do more laundry, so you moved that out. And it's just a very busy, accumulating, chaotic time of life. Now, having lived through that phase entirely, I know that, number one, you could sell things at garage sales and get a good dollar amount for them and rebuy them again, which is what I did a lot with my kids' stuff. And you have a lot of energy. I know you're sleep deprived and you're like, you've got to be kidding me. I do not have energy. Let me just tell you, you have more energy now than you will ever have. It's so true and it's so hard to hear, but you do. And your mind is racing and you just have like idea after idea after idea. Like when I wanted to redo a kid's room when I was in my 20s, like it was done before the end of the day. My husband would come home from work and be like, didn't that room used to be blue and now it's pink? I'd be like, yeah, it did. Because I'd get up at 7 a.m. and put the little kids in their strollers and I'd push them off to Lowe's and I'd get the paint and I'd come home and, I don't know, I'd turn on Barney and put them in the exerciser and I would paint. I would get it done because I had so much energy and so many ideas and so much drive that I could just get so much done. So that's the phase of life that is 25 to around 35 or 40. For me, the next phase of life started at 40, but for some people, it starts a little bit younger, maybe 35, 38. And this phase of life from 40 to 55 is really the sandwich and the survival mode is what I call it. I see so many women in it. It's when you become the sandwich generation. It's when you really are just surviving day to day. Not that you're not enjoying your life. I would say my friends in their 40s are enjoying life more than they did in their 20s and 30s. But it is a survival game. And so the average woman from 40 to 55, of course, this is just generalities, of course, typically has school-age children, no longer has children in preschool, you know, that are not going to school all day. Most of them have middle school, high school, and college-age children, unless they had a little bonus baby sometime in their late 30s, early 40s. But even if they had the little bonus baby, they're not the same parent of that bonus baby as they were of the baby that they had in their 20s. You know, remember how you parented in your 20s? And if you have one of these little bonus kids, you parented differently. Like you didn't have the plastic onslaught of toys or whatever. Like this baby was raised on the soccer fields and, you know, was always in the car and on the go and went to restaurants when it was a baby, whereas your other babies never did that. So they're raised a little bit different than if you have children in your 20s. Or if you didn't have children in your 20s and you have your first children in your late 30s, I noticed those parents also do not raise their children as the ones did in their 20s. They do it more like a 40 to 50 year old mother would do. So the 40 to 55 year old mother is, and I say mother just because I am a mother. So I think it applies to all women, whether or not you have children. This is what happens. At this point, most of my friends, 99% of them, have decided that they need to contribute some kind of financial way to their family, or they've taken on a significant volunteer role in the community. One or the other. They're not at home because unless they're doing full-time homeschool, they're not at home usually during the day. They're out volunteering. They're on a board. They are at a job. They are working from home. They are doing something to financially contribute to the family because they're preparing for the kids that are going to be in college and they want to continue to build their nest egg for retirement so that they can hopefully get back to doing something with this husband that they love. This is also the time of life where I see a lot of people in their late 30s end up getting divorced. And so they end up in their 40s as a single parent of children. This is also the time in life where kids need to go everywhere. They're becoming more independent, but they're not driving yet. So you're driving them possibly to a job when they're 15 and they have to have all those hours of driving and they have different schools. My kids go to different schools. So you have to drive them there and they're in sports and they're in all kinds of things. And so you are literally in your car anywhere from 20 to 45 hours a week. Not unusual at all for me to talk to somebody in this phase of life and I say, okay, tell me where you drive your kids. And then I say, do you realize you have a part-time driving job or a full-time driving job? And that's when it hits them like a ton of bricks. No wonder I can't get anything done at home. I'm working 40 hours a week and I'm driving 40 hours a week and I still do need to get some sleep done. So it makes sense that there is no time for me to get the laundry done anymore because I'm just never physically at home to do the laundry. Now, I mentioned that this is the time of life where a lot of people get divorced. It's also the time of life where your parents get sick or pass away, your spouse or yourself might get cancer, something happens to one of your children. Along this decade and a half, you will have some kind of major tragedy happen to you, probably multiple major tragedies, and you will be in charge of them. You'll be in charge of taking care of your parents. You'll be in charge of taking care of your best friend that just got cancer. You will be coordinating all the meals, helping her get to chemo, all of those things. So on top of the job and the driving the kids everywhere and the possibly getting divorced, you're also in charge of somebody else. And you're the sandwich generation. You are smushed and ringed and pressed down. And there's just like no time to breathe. But at the same time, something happens at 40, like something just clicked in my brain. I remember my friend told me this would happen, and it did happen. And I talked to so many people in their 40s, and it's actually an awesome thing. Like, you have your 40th birthday, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be 40. Like, I'm a dinosaur. I should just die now. And then a couple days later, you go, you know what? I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. I really don't care. Like, I don't care that you don't want my kids in this after school program. I'm putting them there anyway. I don't care that you don't like that I don't vaccinate my kids. I don't vaccinate my kids, or I do vaccinate my kids. And that issue in your 20s and 30s, whether or not you're going to vaccinate your children, you would have written letters to congressmen and put it all over Facebook, and you would have been up in arms, and everybody has to vaccinate or not vaccinate their kids, whatever I do, blah, blah, blah. By the time you're in your 40s, you're like, that's great. You do whatever you want. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm comfortable with my decision. You be comfortable with your decision. It was so liberating to me in my 40s to finally feel like I knew what the heck I was doing. Like, fine, you're not going to do what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do what you're going to do, or whatever. I totally missaid that. But I am comfortable in the mom that I am, for the children that I have, for the spouse that I have, for the responsibilities that I have. I am going to work at home, drive 30 hours, put my kid in a really expensive elementary school, not put him in a traditional four-year college. I'm fine with that. Like, I'm over trying to get the whole world to realize that not every kid's going to go to college. I just know what's good for my kids and my family, right? That happens in the 40s and 50s too. So even though you're getting pressed down and you have a ridiculous amount of responsibility, you're able to handle it better. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I just have a better perspective now. I don't worry about things. Like, I could just hired a new assistant, and she was asking me something about the blog, and I was like, well, it's just a blog. I mean, if you'd worked for me before, like, it had to be up and perfect at 8:01. But now I'm like, well, you know, if it doesn't get up, it's just a blog. Like, it's not the end of the world if our post doesn't publish at 8 a.m. or if something happens to your mother and we have to, like, not do anything on the blog for a week. We'll live. We'll be fine. You know, let's just try to get it done. That is the way I think now. In my 20s and 30s, I'd have stayed up all night, and I'd have worried and called hosting companies, and I'd have gone crazy if my blog was going to go down, right? So you just have a lot more perspective. Okay, so then sometime after 55, and I'm 43, so I can't really say when it happens, but I see it with my clients. Sometime between your 50s and 60s, you move into this next phase. And I call this phase the legacy and the purging phase. Now, I had to take care of my father when he was sick for a year. I primarily, because I was the one out of town, I did all of the financial and phone call and things like that. And my sister was in charge of the day-to-day physical care of my father. And then when he passed away, my sister and I had to handle the estate, clean out the house, sell the house. I'll be talking about more about that in 2016, now that I can actually say it and not have all the emotion associated with it because it was 6 years ago. Once you do that, once you bury one of your parents or a friend, or once you've seen the end of life, then you start thinking about your own. Now, I'll just have you know, I plan on getting an A+. So an A+ to me is living until you're 100, you know, like you're graded on how long you live. So crazy. But I have a lot of grandmothers who have lived into their 90s. And my great grandmother was 103. My grandfather just passed away last year at 102. Like, I plan on living until I'm 100. I'm not going anywhere. You're going to have to listen to me for a long time. But with that said, once you bury a parent and you have to clean out your family home and get it ready for sale, and the amount of work that entails, and in my profession, I help people organize their homes all the time, you start looking at your house in a totally different light. That's why I say I don't know where this happens. If it's 45 to 65, it's actually happened to me much younger. But at some point along the way, you help somebody who is handling someone's estate, and you realize that all of the stuff in that house doesn't go with them and is left for who's ever left to take care of it. And then you start looking at your own stuff and you go, I don't think that I want anybody else to have to clean this out of my house. We keep stuff we don't need in case we need it someday. crazy stuff. Like, you have a party and you have an extra 20 cups that are pink, and you keep those because the next time you have a party, you don't want to have to buy those expensive pink cups again. But let me just give you a clue. The next time you have a party, even if you only invite 10 people, you're still going to buy more pink cups because you're afraid you're not going to have enough. And then you're going to have 40 pink cups in your basement because this is just how we are. It's just how it works. So we have pink cups and mason jars because, like, get ready to laugh. I was going to can fruits and vegetables about a decade ago. So, of course, I have mason jars in my basement. Finally, last year, I was like, okay, I'm not going to even make a craft out of them, and I for sure am not going to become canning. Although I will say, I used to can jelly when the kids were little, and it was very, very yummy. I'm not doing it again. The mason jars are gone. But when you don't clean out those projects that are never going to happen in your house, here's what happens. Tragedy happens and you pass away. And your family members see silly mason jars in the basement and they go, oh my gosh, mom touched the mason jars. She must have been going to make something for us in those. We need to keep those. Those were mom's mason jars. Like, every single thing in your house takes on an exponential importance that was never put on that piece of property because you bought it and you touched it. And when you're in grief and you're trying to make decisions about how to get rid of everything that's in the home that you lived in for 35 years, it is so hard to have perspective and go, photographs we save, those are meaningful and heritage. Mason jars that you can buy for 10 bucks at Meijer, we let go. It's really, really hard to make that decision because you have a grief brain. I haven't read about it, but I know it's true because I see it in my clients. And it takes 5 years to get through it. On average, pretty much to the day, it's 5 years. Like, I haven't even talked about my dad very much on the podcast because it's 5 years to process it. There is no way to speed it up. And you're not going to keep the family home for 5 years while you decide if you're going to keep mason jars or not. So that's why I say in this phase of life, sometime around 55 and above, usually this happens about when the kids go to college or they're finished with college. God love the baby, because when they go to college, mom is done. Like, you're at college, they're done. They are officially an empty nester and they are ready to clean out this house and get rid of everything. So I watched this happen with my cousins recently, and they're all 4 years apart. So one went off to college and there were two at home still. And then the second one went off to college and the baby was home. And, you know, I watched my aunt start to purge the family home, which happens to have been the family home since when she was a baby. So this home had been built by my grandfather 50 plus years ago. And so it's a very organized home, but, you know, it had an attic and things like that. So when the baby went to college, mom was done and she was ready to purge, because, of course, my father is her brother. And so she'd been through this watching us clean out our family home, and she didn't want her kids to have to do the same thing. And she was going through it like a banshee, like what didn't need to be there wasn't going to be there. And a lot of times your college age kids are like, well, I'm saving this for my future apartment or whatever. And I've come up with some solutions for this now as a professional organizer. I suggest getting a storage locker for a couple of years so that you can go ahead and purge your house, but they can keep their stuff. And I think that that's a good solution. But I watched this happen, and I really, really analyzed what had happened. And it was because the time of life and having gone through that experience of helping someone clean out their family home, you think, why am I keeping 18 mattresses in my attic? Why do I need to have four sets of dishes for, you know, like, we'll just buy dishes when they get an apartment? And you start to purge things. You also start to think about your legacy in this stage of life. This is often when people will hire me to make photo albums. They know that their future generations may not want the actual physical photo albums that I'm going to make. That's why we scan them. But they know that they're the ones that know the stories of the people and the pictures. And if they don't put it down in writing in a book somewhere, no one's ever going to know that. And it's worth their financial investment and their time to take the time to preserve that memory and that heritage for future generations. Okay, that's a really big explanation of the three phases of life, but I think it's important to know which phase you're in. So you may be 55 and you've just gotten married and adopted a child and you're actually in the accumulating phase, or you may be 32 and you already lost your spouse and you're in more the mindset of phase three of the 55-year-old and over, because you've had a really hard childhood and you've buried a lot of people and stuff just doesn't have a lot of meaning to you because it's more people than stuff. You see what I'm saying? But those are the three kind of big mindsets that we have. Are you in the accumulating phase? Are you in the survival squished up phase? Or are you in the purging legacy phase? Now, once you've identified which phase you're in, let's talk about the three stages of actually getting organized. Stage one is getting rid of excess. So stage one is, I am so overwhelmed. I do not know what to do in this situation. And if you get stuck in the, I'm going to start in this drawer and organize the next drawer and the next drawer, it's so overwhelming that you can't get enough momentum to go forward. So what I usually tell people to do first, or when we very first start on a professional organizing job, and what I'm going to start telling you in 2016 to do first, is just get black trash bags. Go to Costco, buy the box of 90, bring them home. We're going to get out a black trash bag. We're going to go in whatever room you're going to organize. And your only job is to fill that black trash bag either with trash first. And once you have all the trash gone, then you're going to go through that room. And every single thing that you don't love and don't need and can be donated goes right in the black trash bag and right out to the car. For some of you, that's all you're going to do for all of 2016. And that is going to be huge. Just starting to identify what is trash and what you no longer need in your house and getting it out, you will be amazed what progress you will make. You will be able to eliminate probably 50% of what's in a room. Because if you are in the overwhelmed stage, that means every drawer is a junk drawer, every flat surface has piles of stuff on it. Your laundry that you have clean is either on your bed or your couch, it's not put away. I mean, I know how you live. This is not a judgment call. This is just reality. You are overwhelmed. And when you are overwhelmed, you have to reduce the amount you're looking at. We cannot talk about organizing your sock drawer if all of your socks are in the laundry room, right? And we can't talk about organizing your library if you have books in every single room of your house. So the first step is to get everything in one room and to get rid of as much as we can that we know we don't need. So I'm trying to think of an example. Maybe I'll do that in the next podcast. I'll do some examples. So that is the purging phase. Number one, you're just going to eliminate trash and eliminate stuff. And that is exactly what I did in the first year. I did my own 40 weeks, one whole house challenge back when it was 40 days, one crazy lady. Let's call it that. That's what I did. I essentially went into every single space and I just got rid of as much as I physically could. And it ended up being about 50% of our house left. And when I was done, I realized that I wasn't organized, but I was ready to get organized. And I'm telling you this as a professional organizer, like I already had been one. People were paying me to organize their house. It took me 40 days just to get rid of the stuff that I didn't need. And I barely made that timetable because it is so mentally exhausting getting rid of stuff you don't need. Like it really is. It's hard. Then when I did 40 weeks, one whole house, and I did it again at a more reasonable pace, I did the same thing. Every time I went into the same room, I would eliminate everything I thought I could eliminate again. Now, the second time through, I was able to eliminate another 25% of what I had saved. But you cannot go from overwhelmed to perfectly organized in one session. You just can't do it. It's going to take years apart. And I'll tell you all about that next week in the podcast. I'm going to dig a little deeper with some examples of what I'm telling you about today. All right, so phase two is still eliminating. First step is you're going to spend the first 15 minutes and you're going to say, okay, what in here don't I need, love, want, whatever. Let's trash what's trash and donate what's donate and get it right out to the car. Then in stage two, though, what you're going to do is you're going to be creating systems and actually organizing. So it's not till year two of the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge that you actually do the organizing. So let's say you're in their master closet. First year, you got rid of 50% of it and maybe you hung it on different hangers. This time, you're going to get rid of another 25%. But instead of only having 20% in your closet of what you wear, now you have about 70% in your closet of what you wear and you love. And this is where you go through and maybe you put in a shoe organizer or you rearrange the shelves in there. Or if you have a lot of time and energy, you pull everything out and you paint the closet a different color and put everything back in because you're going to make this, you know, like your wardrobe area. Let's say you're organizing the kitchen. Year one, you're just getting rid of everything you don't use. Like you got a waffle maker 18 years ago, you don't use that. And that blender was broken anyway, and you're just getting rid of stuff. Year two, you're going to go through every area and you're going to make more refined choices like, okay, we don't need 18 spatulas. We only need three, but we only have one pizza cutter and we actually need two. So I'm going to buy one. You're going to make those kind of decisions. You're going to purge, but you're also going to add and you're going to do more organizing. You're going to say, I'm going to get some baskets and organize these drawers or, yeah, I'm going to redo the pantry today. I'm going to pull everything out and I'm going to redo the shelves and I'm going to put everything back in. And then year three, when you do the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge, there will be very, very little to donate. You will have a hard time finding stuff to donate as you go through the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge, years three and four and beyond. You will be in what I call the maintenance mode. And in the maintenance mode, you will go in and you will be able to declutter anything that needs to be decluttered, usually in about 15 minutes per space. Then you will be able to go through and freshen up the organization in about an hour per space at the most. And that's when you'll be able to say, you know what? Okay, I put this organizational system in last year. I kind of like it. I don't love it. I'm going to tweak it. Or this year, I'm going to invest in those spinny spice rack things Lisa talked about. I have loved those every single year. I think that's a great solution for me, too. You know, year one, we got rid of all the spices. Year two, I got down to the spices I use and love. And year three, I'm going to go ahead and invest in those expensive spinny spice things and move all my spices over into there. So you're making purchases in year three, but they're purchases from having really thought about it and how you use your space and what would benefit you the most. All right. Pretty long podcast. Boy, I had a lot to say today. So the three phases of life, 25 to 40 is accumulating. 40 to 55 about is that sandwich squishy generation. And 55 to 80 and beyond is creating a legacy and purging what you have accumulated in the younger years. And then once you identify what stage you're in, then we're going to talk about what phase of organization you're in. Are you in year one of the organized challenge where you are overwhelmed and you're just going to get rid of trash and anything that can be donated? Are you in year two where you're looking for systems and organization? Or are you in year three where you are ready to refine and stylize the systems that you created the year before? Now, next week in the podcast, I'm going to talk about something new for 2016, and it's going to be an organizing mastermind group. I'm going to talk to you about a couple of clients that I've had in the past, how you view your organization, and how I can really, really help you get organized in 2016. Have a great week. I hope you got some good nuggets of information on how to get organized in today's podcast. Come on over to organize365.com to check out all the resources and links in today's show. Once again, I just shared with you a podcast that's pretty old. Actually, I recorded that podcast 2 years ago. So you heard me again talking about the 40 weeks, one whole house project that no longer exists. And you hear me talking about how the next thing I'll be talking about is the mastermind. Well, the mastermind 2 years ago is when I first started the 100-day home organization program, and I started it as a mastermind group. And that's how I first worked with a handful of ladies to help them get organized and realize I was in the process of transitioning from the 40 weeks, one whole house program over to the current program I have today, the 100-day home organization program that over 500 ladies are in, and they are actively getting their homes organized. And the thing they tell me most often is that this program works. Now, also, you heard me talk about the three phases of life and the three stages of organization that you go through inside of your house. As I have been blogging for almost 6 years now and podcasting for over three, I have come across things that I talk about over and over and over again. My own ideas about how and why and what it takes to get organized. And this idea that there are three phases of life, I ended up fleshing out into an Amazon number one best-selling book called The Mindset of Organization, Take Back Your House One Phase at a Time. In this book, I actually talk about four phases of life, and the phase of life that is not talked about in this podcast is childhood. So I talk to children all the time on my podcast. There, if you scroll back through, you could see a couple of different series that I have done focused on kids. And the thing that I teach kids, when I teach kids to get their bedrooms organized, I have them look at their bedroom as their own mini apartment. So there are four phases of life: childhood, accumulation, survival, and downsizing and legacy. When you go to organize365.com/binge, you will be able to see a link to get The Mindset of Organization on Amazon. It is available on Kindle, in paperback, and in Audible. All right, next, it is, if you're listening real time, it is going to be Christmas tomorrow when you hear the next podcast. And ironically, the podcast that I'm going to share with you is called Organizational Quicksand. Now, I did strategically pick this one on December 25th because as I am now 45, I realize that Christmas morning is not always sunshine and rainbows for everyone. It could be a really hard day for some people. And if you are listening to this podcast tomorrow on Christmas morning, I want to talk to you about how we kind of get stuck. We can get stuck in organizing. We could get stuck on holidays. There are just times in our life where we get stuck. So tomorrow, Organizational Quicksand will be the next podcast in our binge queue.